Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690. I'm Matt Jordan, and joining me over the phones after a recent announcement is current Kansas Treasurer Jake LaTurner. How are you doing this morning, Mr. LaTurner?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the radio.
Yeah, you know, we're glad you took some time out to talk with us. I know you're probably a busy man, and first, you know, before we get things started, I want to say congratulations on the announcement.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, of course, some people may know, some people may not, but recently, former Governor Jeff Coyer kind of put some encouragement out there publicly, and now you've kind of made the decision. So really, kind of, what was the decision, you know, what was the process behind making this decision, and how long have you been thinking this over?
Well, listen, I was on a 30-county tour of western Kansas just a couple of weeks ago, and so believed in our message for the Senate. I think we have a pathway to victory there, good fundraising numbers, good coalition building, but had growing number of people in the 2nd Congressional District say, hey, you ought to take a look at this. And it culminated in Governor Collier stepping up and saying that this is something that I should do to make sure the seat doesn't fall into Democrat hands. And so my wife and I took a very serious look at it. It's a hard decision to make, but at the end of the day, 2nd Congressional District has always been home to me. I'm from southeast Kansas. Galena is where I grew up. Represented the Pittsburgh area in the state Senate. Have a lot of family and friends in the 2nd Congressional District. Know it very well. My wife's from Chanute. Live in Topeka. And so I care deeply about the district and did not want to see it go to a Democrat.
All right. Well, it definitely sounds like you've got some good motives behind it, and took some time to you know, think about it. And I'm fairly new to southeast Kansas. I came from northeastern Oklahoma. Been here approaching 3 years now, and that is one thing that I've learned about people that go, you know, to the state capitol from the SEK. You got the Attorney General Derek Schmidt and others. They always stay very passionate about this area, no matter where they go elsewhere in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, southeast Kansas has always been home, will always be home for us. We're back there all the time. In fact, I'm in southeast Kansas right now. Southeast Kansas has, you know, unique needs, and sometimes the voices in southeast Kansas aren't heard as loudly as they are in other parts of the state. So it's important for folks from southeast Kansas to make sure that folks are listening to us, and that's what I'm going to make sure happens in Washington, D.C., that people are paying attention to us, people know what we want.
Now talk about this contract with Kansans that you're kind of are using it as a basis here.
Yeah, the contract with Kansas is 7 conservative principles that I believe to my core. Folks can check it out at contractwithkansas.com, but what they'll find on there, among other things, is my support for term limits at the federal level. We cannot expect to fix the problems we have by sending the same people there time after time and after time. So we've got to have new, fresh blood in Washington, D.C. I talk about the need to build the wall, secure the border, and reform this immigration system once and for all. It's time to stop talking about it. It's time to get it done. I talk about the need to pass welfare reform at the federal level. We have 40 million people on government dependents in this country, and the effects of that reverberate through our society. We need someone who is deadly serious about making sure we are protecting the unborn and defending our Second Amendment rights that are under attack right now in such a major way. And so folks can check all that out at contractwithkansas.com, but I'm doing it. The point of it is that I'm saying where I am on the issues so that voters can hold me accountable once I'm in office. I tell folks everywhere, and I mean it, if I don't live up to what I say I'm going to do, you should never vote for me again.
All right. Well, you know, what are some things that I guess separate you from the rest of the field, whether that be other Republicans or the Democrats that could be running for the spot?
Well, Congressman Watkins, who's in the seat now, as Governor Collier pointed out last week, has had poor fundraising numbers, poor coalition building, and has put the seat in jeopardy of being lost to a Democrat. He barely won last election. He had to have Trump come in for him, who won the district by 19 points. Pence came in for him, and he still barely squeaked it out. And so what I tell folks is that I have a solid conservative background from my time in the state Senate and as state treasurer, an A-plus rating from the NRA, I won the Pro-Life Hero Award from Kansans for Life, reformed the property tax system, giving people the right to vote on property tax increases. I've led on conservative issues, and so I think the choice is someone who has a proven track record of leading on conservative principles, and somebody that has a vision for the future of this country, or someone who is without question going to put the seat in jeopardy.
Yeah, and you were just recently reelected, if I'm right there, as the treasurer. So you've obviously got statewide support from Kansas.
Yeah, I think we have a broad base of support, but especially in the 2nd District, because we know the people here, it's home to us, and, you know, I'm going to outwork any other campaign that's out there. We're going to work hard. We're going to be accessible to voters. They want the opportunity to kick the tires and look underneath the hood, and they deserve that opportunity. And so we're going to be out in the district working our tails off, making sure that we're growing the base of support.
All right. Well, what are some things that you think your time spent as the treasurer here in the state of Kansas will help with your bid for this spot?
Well, in the treasurer's office, we've returned a record amount of unclaimed property to the people of Kansas, over $50 million since I've been treasurer. We broke records both years that I've been treasurer. And it was incredibly important to me to get money out of Topeka and in the communities across the state. So we're really proud of that. We sued the federal government because they weren't treating Kansans fairly when it comes to U.S. savings bonds. I think it's important that when you see somebody not treating someone fairly, that you step up and you do something about it. So that's what we've done. We've had some success there, and we're going to continue to do that. Forbes ranked our 529 program top 5 in the country, and we've done all of these things in the treasurer's office, I want to add, by reducing our staff and reducing our budget. I tell folks, you really can get a better service for a cheaper price, but what you have to have, the ingredient that you have to have, is accountability. And that's what we've provided in the state treasurer's office.
Well, yeah, and I think that's such a big thing as a politician that you have to make sure you follow up on, because, you know, that's the kind of the stigma around that is that they make all these promises and then they never follow through on these promises. So accountability is such a huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And back to the contract, that's what it's all about, is empowering voters to have the tools to hold people accountable, because we all know somebody or have seen someone who is probably a pretty good person, and then they go to Washington, D.C., and they start behaving in a way that is not similar to how they were talking on the campaign trail. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to be straight up with voters. This is where we are on the issues, and if I don't do it, don't vote for me again. And so that's the level of accountability that I think we need to have.
So if you were to be elected, and outside of, you know, obviously the things you've already hit on with that contract for Kansas, what would be some of your goals that you'd like to see accomplished, you know, as you serve?
Well, listen, you know, I mentioned balancing the budget. It's so important to me. We need to balance the budget without raising taxes. We're having $1 trillion deficits, and we have got to knock it off. Suzanne and I have 4 young kids. And we look at their future and get pretty nervous sometimes, pretty worried about what that looks like. And I know your listeners worry about their kids and grandkids in just the same manner. And the battle for the future of this country is taking place in the U.S. House, the U.S. Senate, and Washington, D.C. And so we need people that are willing to go there and make tough choices. Balancing the budget, stopping the $1 trillion deficit so we can get this $22 trillion debt under control is absolutely vital. And we're not going to send the same people back there again and again and expect to change anything. So that's a big issue for me.
Now, I'm fairly young. I'm still in my 20s. And one thing I think people, you know, in college and in my age range kind of feel a disconnect sometimes with government or with, you know, members of Congress, because there's just such a wide age gap. Now, if I'm correct, the youngest elected official in Kansas. So how does that, you know, reach to that that area population with the younger people?
Well, yeah, my wife Suzanne and I have 4 young kids that I said. I'm a younger guy, the youngest statewide elected official in the country right now. And I think it's important that that point of view is represented in the halls of Congress, because it's quite a different viewpoint. to look at your young kids and look at the future ahead. You want to be responsible. You want to make sure that you are doing the right things to set us up for the long haul. And so it is a different perspective than other people had, and younger people are underrepresented. And it's also true that we need to get younger people involved in the election process. And young people are more conservative on certain issues, and we need to talk about those issues. We need to be unafraid to take our message to anyone and talk about our conservative principles. And I think we're going to gain a lot of support that way. That's how we're going to be successful in some of the harder districts and harder parts of this country where Republicans don't win as many elections. That's what we have to do. We have to take the message to everyone. We have to talk to young people, because what is the basis of our belief system? It is freedom. It is personal responsibility. And those are incredibly attractive messages to everyone. But we can't just look and sit in the same circle and talk to the same people. We got to go out and spread the message.
Absolutely. Well, as we kind of wrap it up here, is there anything else you want to share before we let you go there?
Listen, I'm so pleased to be with you. I will be throughout this district constantly. Would be happy to come on the program anytime if you have any questions. Really enjoy the time and appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us, and I know it means a lot. It means a lot to our listeners for sure, And so we know you're a busy man. So best of luck, and look forward to speaking with you possibly more as you continue on this journey.
Sounds great. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.